Welcome to the second episode of Wine, Dine, 69, and Mental Health. I am excited to talk to you today to tell you about why I started the podcast in the first place. So, if you guys don't know me, I am in the military. And I'm in the Navy. I went to core school to become a hospital corpsman. And for those of you that don't know what that is, it is basically a nursing assistant, you know? And it's been quite a ride. And I can wholeheartedly say that I do want to get out. I do not regret joining the military whatsoever. However, it has put me through a lot. Nothing that I couldn't handle, and I'm fortunate to have the support that I have had. Unfortunately, I had to find out a lot of things the hard way, and it really started in core school. So I actually went to DRB in core school, where, and the situation was that I had a boyfriend then, and him and I got a hotel room at this super cheap hotel, and we were hanging out with a classmate, and her boyfriend had come to visit from another state, and he was also in the service, but he wasn't, you know, with us in our class or anything. And so we went to this hotel to like check in, whatever. We were all hanging out together, and then we decided that we were gonna go eat, and there was a McDonald's next to it, and so we were getting ready to walk out, and the classmate, female classmate, and her boyfriend had stepped out, and the door shut, and we got stuck in there. The door frame had just like bent outward, and so we couldn't get the door open, and the windows were bolted shut. Honestly, don't ask me why this happened, because I had no idea. It was, all of it was just stupid. And so we were stuck in there. We did not make the curfew, and so we ended up having to go to DRB, which is a disciplinary review board, where, you know, it's, so we went. First thing that they did was, well, they were yelling at me for, because I was the quote-unquote highest ranking, because I was in E3, and the other two, well, one was in E2, the other one was in E1, and so they were kind of focusing their attention on me because they were saying that, you know, that meant something and whatever. The thing was, is that we were new, you know. We honestly didn't have any bad intentions with what we did. And the instructors and people that we trusted, like our, all of the authority figures in core school, which were the MAs, which are like the security people, they all were telling us that, you know, we could do it, just like we wouldn't be able to spend the night, so there wouldn't really be a point. Like, that's what they would always tell us. And, well, while that was true, they put a lot of restrictions on us while we were there, which they would tell us that we couldn't hang out in the lounges together, which, it's like, you know, not everybody was friends with their roommates or whatever. You know, we wanted to hang out in the lounges with our friends and whatever, and you know, not all females get along, and it was all females on the top floor and stuff like that. So, you know, it was just a way for people to hang out, you know, outside. Plus, you know, we were all adults, and, you know, things happen. You know, people get horny. You know, they're going to go get a hotel room with the person that they are with, or the person that they want to have sex with, and they're going to go do it, you know? So, people got hotel rooms all the time. And so, anyway, we were under the impression that we could do it as long as we were back by curfew. We contacted, you know, the watch and everything and told them that we were going to be late. But, you know, we still got in trouble. And when I told these people, you know, like, well, see, the thing is that these authority figures that we trusted were telling us that it was okay, so that's why we thought it was okay. And then they were telling me about how I should have read the instruction, and I'm like, honestly, like, now being a little bit more experienced in the military, and no, I'm not saying I am as experienced as a lot of people, but I'm saying with more experience that I have come to realize that a lot of people don't read the instructions unless they need to. Like, nobody reads the instruction unless somebody is like, hey, I don't think you're supposed to do that, and then they'll go find the instruction and read it. Otherwise, it's, and that goes up to the highest ranking people, I'm sure. Like, I've literally seen an E6 not know what was written in the instruction, and they've been in for 18 years. So it's like, you know, that, like, a brand new person who's been in the military for a few months is not going to think, oh yeah, I should go read the instruction to make sure that my authority figures aren't pointing me in the wrong direction. It's just not something that immediately crosses our mind. And honestly, it was just it was very obvious to me that it was a way for them to, like, bully us, because there was really no justification for them to even send us to DRB. It wasn't clearly stated, and even in the page 13s that we did sign, like, it didn't say that that wasn't allowed. We weren't given the instructions before we signed anything. Like, they didn't, it wasn't, like, in the fine print that we didn't read. So it was just kind of, like, really frustrating to have them yell at us, and, like, for it to go nowhere. Like, it's either kind of, like, discipline us, go all the way, or let it go. Like, we could have been counseled in a different way over them yelling at us. Like, we had it was just a room full of E7s, E8s, and E9s just going in on us. And our own class chief, he was yelling at us, telling us that he specifically told us not to get hotel rooms when he never did. And I even said, like, no, you didn't. And he yelled at me even more. So it was like, and the whole class, you know, we were all like, he never told us that. Like, and it was just like, he was lying in front of his peers because he could. And honestly, that's just ridiculous. Like, that is, it's bullying. Like, that's really it. Like, it's just, it's disgusting. It is what it is, you know. Graduated core school. My first duty station was Gitmo, Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. And honestly, that place is terrible. I can't even lie. Now, a lot of people say that it's not. A lot of people say they had great times there, and I don't even doubt it. Because it is possible to have a good time there. But after a certain amount of time, it really takes a toll. And it's hard because you're there, and you can't get away from any of these people. And you can't get a break. Like, you can't just drive and actually go on that long drive that you want to go on to clear your mind. You know, it's a small base, probably large compared to some, but it's a small place, and it was hard. There really weren't a whole lot of situations that happened to me specifically that I can say were unfair, except when I reported a first class for sexual harassment. When I reported him, it was a combination of things because, for one, when people read the messages that were sent specifically to me or specifically in the group chat where he started saying things like that, I mean, he started before that, but it was just, it seemed like it was nothing. It seemed like it was just like, okay, he made a comment, he could have been talked to, but somebody had told me about how he had done this to them before, and so I was kind of like, well, that's odd, that he did this, and then I talked to some other people, and they were saying that it happened to them as well, and honestly, I didn't think it was weird, at first, because the situation was I got a phishing email, which it's phishing, P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, you know. So, I got that email, and, you know, I did what I was supposed to do with it, but we had a group chat for our COVID operations, and I had messaged in this group chat, which there was only 4 people, including myself, and I said, I think I got an email from ISIS, and I said it as a joke, and then, this first class said that they wanted to see it, so I took a picture of it, I sent it in the group chat, and he said, give us that booty for Allah. First of all, that's like a, okay, why are you being weird? and then it was just kind of like weird, odd, whatever, kind of shrugged it off. But then he texted me personally at the same time to like double down on his comment about my body. However, it made me uncomfortable automatically. Like, I was just kind of like, now that I know all of this information, it was kind of just like weird, and it kind of put a lot of things into perspective, because it wasn't the first time he had made a comment about my body. I just had never really paid attention to it because I don't know, because I kind of idolized him in a way, with what we were doing and how the people around me saw him as well. And so it was just kind of like, so these people see him as like this great person, so like he must be doing something right kind of thing. Very likable personality, and it was just kind of like something that it's hard to see the red flags, you know. You never want to see red flags in somebody that you have grown some sort of relationship with, whether it's a coworker, a boss, a friend, a significant other. You know, you don't want to see the downsides, you know, to that. And so I wasn't paying attention, and then I kind of realized that there was numerous times he made comments, and I just, you know, kind of like ignored it, and this kind of put it all into perspective for me. And so I had to go speak to the equal opportunity person, and when I did, I ended up doing my report, and it ended up bringing a lot of people forward, and a lot of people supported me, and a lot of people disliked me for reporting it. The part that I struggled with the most with this whole situation is the lack of support from the command. I had support amongst my coworkers, and my peers, but I didn't have any support from the people who were ultimately supposed to protect me. And I'm just gonna tell you guys right now, like, I have checked, you know, I've talked to many people explaining to them the situation, high ranking, lower ranking, just to see, you know, maybe I was misunderstanding, maybe I didn't understand the processes, but I do, and they definitely screwed me over big time. So when I reported him, that operation that we were doing, the COVID operation, they had removed me from it. Now, my direct supervisor, who was a civilian, he wasn't mad. He was glad that I had a little more spare time to focus on other parts of emergency management, which is what I was doing. However, I was upset because I shouldn't have been removed, because I was the victim in the situation. Regardless of if the case was finalized or not, and that is part of what they tell us, you know, when they tell us that we should report things, is that you aren't supposed to receive any retaliation or reprisal whatsoever. And that's exactly what that was. I was taken off, and they told me that it was to protect him because of a racial issue that he had in the past that had absolutely nothing to do with me whatsoever. And I just want to clarify that he is African American, as am I. I am also a woman, so I was kind of like, that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Like, and mind you, it was an E8 and an E9 explaining this to me. I'm gonna say mansplaining, because that's what it was. And I told them straight up, I was like, I don't agree with this decision. They tried to ask me if I understood, and I told them, no, I do not. He was the person who made me feel some type of way, and it wasn't right for them to do what they did. And, you know, it was hard to kind of, like, step out of my comfort zone to be like, you're wrong. Like you are wrong in this situation. I also spoke to someone else who is way more qualified than I am in the legal aspects of how those things work. And when I spoke to him, he said he had spoken to the JAG, which is, I forgot what it stands for, but it's basically like a lawyer type legal person. Since it's an island and it's not on the mainland, they had reached out to the JAG in Jacksonville. And so when he called the person in Jacksonville, they said that they had no knowledge of ever speaking with the E9 who had been telling me this information, whereas this E9 and the CO as well had both told me that this was the legal process that they told them to follow through with, and they were saying that they had no knowledge of it. So it's kind of like, I don't know what happened there, but however it goes, I should not have been removed, and that's that. So after I was removed, I resumed my other job, mostly. I was also training another guy because he was going to take over. I was getting ready to leave. I had about, I don't know, 4 months left. During COVID, they shut down all the entrances to the hospital except for the ER and the quarterdeck doors. And so the COVID operation was up front, in front of the quarter deck. And so the ER was for entrance by emergencies only, of course. And they had a screening process there and everything. But because they had left him, the offender, on this team, he was allowed to continue standing watch in the front of the hospital. And while I worked on in one of the buildings outside of the hospital, you know, I did have to enter the hospital quite a bit, and it was often that he was there that I would go back to my workspace and try to wait it out until he wasn't there. And that was extremely frustrating. And so it was just like, I didn't feel safe or comfortable in my workspace or like on hospital grounds at all because of how small it was in the first place. And I did see him constantly walking around and stuff. So it got very irritating very quickly. I brought it up. I submitted and asked the skipper, which was like a way for us to communicate directly with the CO without routing like a chit. And so when I had submitted it, I said everything. I said that, you know, I had been experiencing retaliation or reprisal because he was allowed to stay on the team that was actually formed from my department. He wasn't even in our department at all. It was just because he was a first class. And honestly, I don't even know why he was on that team as long as he was, because he barely did anything. Like, he had meetings with the higher up sometimes, but for the most part, you know, it was myself and my LPO. We pretty much ran the show. We were the ones that were there most of the time. When something needed to be done late at night, we were the ones who did it, you know. And I can confidently say that was 97% of the time. And he would ask us all the time, the first class, he would ask us all the time, like, hey, can you guys do this for me? Can you do that for me? Can you do this for me? And it was a very, like, it happened all the time. So it was like, you know, I knew that it was me and my LPO doing most of the work, and we were working ourselves for sure. And it was just really, really crappy for them to do what they did. When I finally had reported him, I said that I had felt like the command didn't care about my mental health and my safety. They had issued an MPO. MPO is Military Protection Order, and it did me no good whatsoever. Even though I had voiced that I had felt unsafe and uncomfortable entering the hospital, they issued this, and mind you, it only says that he has to stay away from me. So technically it only made it punishable under the UCMJ, which is the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So it really didn't do anything for me. And mind you, they also, they only gave this to me the last month that I was there. I was getting ready to leave Gitmo, and I had already seen his truck numerous times in places that I had gone. I was at the pool with my friends, and I had to ask them if we could leave because I saw him walk in there. I would see him at the store when I was there. And mind you, this is a small place, so it's like, I understand that there are times that you're going to run into people. But it was happening way too often for me to be comfortable with. I had a, you know, in the barracks rooms, we have locks on the doors, you know, so people can't get in without a key. So I wasn't too concerned when I was in my room, which caused me to kind of confine myself to my room. And I really didn't want to go out unless I was going over to one of my close friends' houses or their barracks rooms so that we could get dressed up and put makeup on and go eat and stuff like that. So I really got very anxious and depressed. Even in my workspace, I was constantly worried that he would enter my workspace. It was extremely frustrating to feel the way I felt. And when I left, I got to my new duty station, and I got a call about 2 weeks into my new duty station, and they told me that he had been moved commands. Now, I understand that that there's probably a process to move somebody from one command to another. However, it did me no good to know that 2 weeks after I was already gone. It really just made me more angry, because I was like, what did that do for me? Was that supposed to make me feel better? Because it didn't. Now he's in a new space with girls that don't know what he's been doing to all of these other women. And it's like, so he's in a new playground, essentially. And that's really how I saw it. And I was like, you did no good for anyone. And so it was just kind of like, you know, whatever. I was so over it at that point. And then I was also told that my case was... So my case was essentially void because of the group chat. Because there was other inappropriate stuff, quote unquote. Specifically memes. Specifically one meme that was sent by neither myself nor the first class. But it was a distasteful meme. But because they said, because I didn't bring that one up, that my case was void. Which I have no idea how that has anything to do with what this guy said to me personally. Because I have text messages from him personally being inappropriate. And it had nothing to do with the group chat whatsoever. And I also had call records of being called at inappropriate times. So it was just like, all of it was just extremely frustrating. It was, all of it was just, wow. Like, I was like, okay. You know, it's one thing to, in a way, reprimand me for not saying something about the meme. It's another thing to completely throw out what happened because of something that had nothing to do with the situation. And, you know, now that I am at my new duty station, I told them when I got here, I was like, I'm not in a space mentally to take on too much right now. I was going through a lot at my last duty station, and I kind of told them, you know, everything that had happened. And then, you know, they put me in this job that requires a lot of tedious work. It's not necessarily difficult, but it is very tedious, and it needs your attention. Like, you need to have you need to have a good eye. And I was struggling with it so much, and it was so hard, and I felt so bad because I would constantly have breakdowns in my space where I was just like, I not only feel like shit for everything that I just went through, but I also feel like shit because I can't even do this simple job, you know? And it caused a lot of anxiety, and I was just having the hardest time. I mean, and you know, I've been having a hard time because not only was I dealing with all of this stuff with the military, you know, I still have a lot of childhood trauma to deal with, you know? And it just kind of like added on. and it kind of kept me from, it didn't keep me from growing, but it kept me from flourishing as much as I wanted to. I had just felt like I was on a good path. I was on my way up. I was growing out of so many situations, and I had finally been like moving on and doing things better for me. And then I kind of feel like my anxiety and depression had gotten the best of me and just really put me in this little hole. And when I got here, I was so scared of everything. I still have a lot of anxiety to go to the gym. You know, I have anxiety of going to the grocery store by myself. And it's just like, those are simple things that you know, sometimes you don't want to go do it, but, you know, you have to go to the grocery store, you know, you need food, right? So it's like, that's something I should not have anxiety doing, you know, and because of everything that I had experienced, I was just so beaten down, and I really was trying to push myself through it, and I really didn't have any support at home because my soon-to-be ex-husband, he didn't get it. He kind of was just like, get over it, go do what you need to do and stop like being a bitch, essentially. Like, I mean, he never said that, but it was just like, it was hard, and I'm not making excuses for myself, but things have been hectic, you know, and they've been really hellish, and, you know, I don't really share a whole lot, you know, like, a lot of my personal friends, my close friends know about this situation or some situations, but they don't know. And, you know, it's hard when you're dealing with that much at once, you know, like all of the stress from, you know, trying to be a good friend, trying to be a good wife, trying to be a good sailor, you know, it's hard. And so I just don't think, with my own experience that I'm telling you about, and with the experience that I have heard from others, and because of all of these things, you know, I joined a lot of Facebook groups, and I know a lot of you are gonna be like, oh, Facebook groups, whatever, but, like, honestly, shut up, because if you actually, like, read some of these things that these women go through in the military, it's sickening. When the Vanessa Guillen situation happened, like, oh my god, like, they made a group on Facebook, and women were just pouring out their stories on there, and how they had just been screwed over so many times, and it was just like, the reporting system is so broken, and so fucked up, and honestly, these people are fucked up, because high-ranking women, do you know how many of them just shrug off trauma? Some of them are like, oh yeah, I'm here for you, I'll do whatever you need, like, just let me know you need to talk and I'll help you out. And then when you try to start talking to them, they're kind of like, oh yep, you just kind of gotta get over it, you just kind of gotta whatever, and they shrug their shoulders at you while you're talking to them, and they have no sympathy, no empathy whatsoever. And I don't think that it's because they don't care. I think it's because they have been groomed to just kind of accept it, because that's what they've been doing during their entire career. Honestly, that's really sad. Like, and it's not fair to them that they've had to endure that they feel like they needed to stay in so long to try and help people through situations that they never wanted to be in the first place. And half the time, they can't even do anything. Like, I met an E6 here who, she said that she just stays in because she just wants to help people. She just wants to show people that they have support, that they have someone, and she's saying that that's her. And I've seen her. She, you know, she's getting tossed around too. And it's like, I'm not going to share the details because of, you know, it's not my story to tell. But it's not fair. Like, it's not fair to her that she feels that obligation. And it's just, it's sad that nobody is really trying to fix this. Nobody is actually making an effort to fix this. And I don't know who to tell. I don't know what to do. I've thought about, you know, I've thought about making an IG complaint. And the E6 that I'm talking about, you know, she was telling me that she's made IG complaints and that, you know, I should, but, or, you know, she didn't say I should, but she advised me that if that's what I want to do, that, you know, I should do what I want to do. However, I can confidently say that I have no faith in any system that has to do with the military. And, you know, it's not just women that get screwed over, because, you know, I've seen this happen to men as well. And I'm not going to even attempt to, like, play the victim card whatsoever. But I will definitely say that it happens to women a lot more. And it's hard to watch, you know, all these women struggle with the exact same thing. It's like, at that point, you would think, you know, that there would be some sort of reform. But, you know, here we are, still suffering all the time. And, you know, like I said, I'm gonna get out, but it sucks that I have to kind of, like, fear for the rest of my career, you know? Like, so until my contract is up, you know, is somebody else gonna try and take advantage of their position of power? And then when I try to come forward, I'm just gonna get shoved under a rug? Or, like, that's not a concern that should even cross my mind for a second. I should have full faith in, you know, the system that, you know, they're telling me to trust. Like, they make us sit through these trainings where they tell us how important this is and how you should use your resources and how, if you use your resources, that they're going to help you, and they don't. They just don't. Like, and then they, you know, it's just, it's hard. And I don't think people know that. Like, I think, yeah, we know it in the military, but I don't think people outside of the military understand that. And I don't know how to make it clearer, but I highly advise women to not join the military, because it's just too damn hard. And I'm not saying every woman has a bad experience in the military, but somebody, I met somebody, and she said that it's a boys' club, and she's 100% right, because it is. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you'll meet so many guys that are like, oh yeah, I'll beat his ass if he ever touches this girl, or if he ever does that. And then, or like, oh yeah, if my friend were ever to, like, rape a girl, I would no longer be friends with him. And that's bullshit, because I have met numerous guys who have literally watched other guys touch a woman when she didn't want to be touched, or touch a man when he didn't want to be touched. Or they have openly talked about how, like, oh yeah, she was drunk and I fucked her. Like, that's not okay. Like, that's not okay, you know? And they just are like, oh, ha, 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 like, that's hilarious. And it's not. And it's, they need to start being more honest with themselves and their friends. While I do believe that there are guys that will stop being friends with guys that are like that, or women that are like that, I don't think that they're in the military for the most part. You know, I've met only a few guys that have actually said something like, hey, that's not right. And that makes me sad because it doesn't make me feel safe, you know? It, like, they say it's a brotherhood, but honestly, it's like, you know, it's just, it's sad how they protect each other, or how they don't correct each other. And this goes for a lot of things, you know, like sexism, racism, you know, you name it. There's a lot of times where somebody will say something and nobody will defend someone else. And then they're like, oh yeah, well, I'm against people saying that. And it's like, no, you're not. Or else you would have said something. You would have told somebody that that wasn't right. Like, and it's honestly, it's upsetting to watch. But I don't think that this is a safe environment for us as women to be in. You know, that hurts a lot. While I have met a lot of good people, you know, I've only met a small amount, you know what I mean? And it's unfortunate that I can't make a bigger difference, but I'm gonna try. You know, every time somebody asks me about the military, I'm 100% honest with them about my experience. And I do clarify, you know, this is my experience. This does not mean that everyone has my exact same experience. This does not mean everybody has a bad time. This doesn't mean that I am not getting a lot of good things out of my experience. And it does not mean I'm being negative. It's just me being realistic. Like, rank is used way too much. You know, they're just people. And I don't care who comes for me on that one, but it's the truth. You know, like, your rank literally has no significance except, you know, responsibility. Like, or, I mean, at least it shouldn't. Because, what is that? You know? Like, it's literally just a power craze that these people have, you know? Like, oh, I can talk to you like this because I'm a senior chief. Like, no, you cannot. Like, I'm still a person. Like, you can still respect me. And, you know, I've had numerous sit-downs with higher-ranking people. And, you know, I talk to them like they're people. I'm not going to cower because they are in E6 or whatever. You know, E6 isn't that high. But, I mean, it is, but it's not. But it's just, it's used way too much. And it makes me sad that this reality isn't presented to us. You know, it's I feel like it's one thing for them to be like if somebody wanted to join the military and I told them like, oh, this was my experience. Honestly, some people have good experiences, some people have bad experiences, but you know, this is what I went through and they still join the military. That's, you know, that I feel like that's 100% informed decision, but they don't tell you about 90% of what the military actually is. Like, the whole school thing, you know, they don't give you money to go to school. Like, oh my God. Oh my God. They don't. They don't. You know, it's something else for sure. You know, there's a cap now on how much money you can use to go to school while you're in the service. You know, you can still use your GI Bill when you get out, as long as you have it. You have your benefits, keep your benefits, whatever. However, there are things that you need to do to use your tuition assistance, and you have to be mindful of how you're using it. It's difficult, you know. It's hard to be a student and be in the military at the same time. Not impossible. I'm doing it right now. I met a lot of people that are doing it, a lot of people that already have their degrees, associates, bachelor's, third, master's, you know. So, but I don't encourage this for women. I think they have a harder time And there was one day where a buddy of mine actually brought up, you know, the PT scores, PT standards, fitness standards. And yes, men and women have it differently. I will say that it's stricter on the men for that. And yes, it's more lenient for the women, but it's not at the same time. You know, they have very unrealistic height weight standards. While I will say, I will openly admit that I am over my max weight for my height. However, my max weight for my height is, I believe, 167 pounds, and I have looked up what that would look like, and I would look sick. I'm just saying, I would look very sick. And it's just like these standards are obviously based off of like, I honestly, I can't even tell you. Like, I can't even picture what they actually base these standards off of, but it's not, you know, everybody's body is different regardless of, you know, their fitness. There are guys who try to avoid like building too much muscle just because they won't pass their tape. You know, like that's literally sad. You know, they're in great shape. They work out regularly and they still don't pass their height, weight standards, whatever. And it's like, come on, military, adjust your damn standards on height, weight, whatever. It's ridiculous. And yeah, it's something else. Military is something else. And, you know, I will say I will get out with a lot of good, a lot of good people that I've met, good certificates that I have, good training that I have, good knowledge. I definitely am smarter. I'm a completely different person than I was when I went to boot camp. And I'm proud of myself for being able to withstand everything that has come my way. But I'm not going to let it go unsaid. I want people to be fully educated before they join. I want them to understand that this is not just listen to the rules and make rank, because it's not. You know, like it's so much more, and unless you actually do it, you're not gonna even come close to understanding what I mean. But, you know, shit gets hard sometimes, you know, and I, like I said, I'm not playing victim. Everybody has a hard time with something, and I'm not saying, you know, anybody has it easier or harder, but I definitely think, I guess I did say that women have it harder, but I definitely think it's more noticeable the things that women have to go through. Like, people automatically assume that a woman has slept around just because she's a high ranking or very qualified, and that's sad. You know, I'm not gonna use the reason that it's 2021, but like, she's human, you know? Maybe she's really fucking smart. Maybe she's really fucking good. Like, look at it unbiasedly first, and then, you know, then we'll see. But, you know, maybe that's r the reality for like one situation or two, but if you compare that to how many people there are in the military doing whatever it is that she's doing, you know. I hope that this kind of just gives people an insight. I'm not fishing for any sort of pity by sharing this. I just want people to understand that it's not a cakewalk. But, you know, I don't regret it, but I'm definitely over it. I'm ready to just be done. Oh man, I am. This is beyond me. Like, I've been going to therapy, and I can say that, you know, my therapist is great. My current chain of command is great. My LPO and my chief have been so supportive. I have cried in their office so many times. I don't even know. And you know, they know a lot of what is going on in my life right now. And I felt really alone when I first came here. And you know, I have found some friends that, you know, I think are gonna be around for a while, thank goodness. I've gotten in touch with people that I hope are gonna be around for a while because, you know, they've been good to me. And I'm grateful that I have been so resilient. I can say that I would not change anything because if I did, then I would not be the person I am in this very moment. I'm getting it together, slowly, but surely I am, and I'm so grateful for that. You know, I am a good person, but I'm going to get better. I'm still growing. I'm still getting better. I still struggle every day with everything. There's nothing that I don't think about. I swear to you. I think about that all of these situations constantly. And I'm just ready to, you know, get this out and move on. I want to let it go. I want the truth to be known. I'm honestly, you know, it's hard seeing people talk about a situation that they don't know anything about, you know, with my own personal experience. It's really difficult, and I know a lot of people who just kind of like shrug off the bad times that they had in the military because they're trying to just focus on the good. But we have to be realistic, you know, especially when we're talking to people who are thinking about joining or they're just looking at their options. Because, like, please do your research. Please, please, please do your research. Know what you are getting into because this is so frustrating. It's just like a cycle of being irritated all the time, and it's if you don't have like a great outlet, a great way to cope, then it's gonna be harder than it needs to be. And there's just so many situations that I've seen go so badly, and I can talk more about that on another episode, or if any of you want to join me, that is awesome too. But I just hope that you guys understand that, you know, it's okay to go to therapy, to ask numerous opinions. You know, you don't have to, you know, try and correct yourself by yourself all the time. You know, you can talk to other people and ask their opinion on, you know, hey, how do you think I could reflect on this situation? How do you think I could fix this situation? What do you think I could have done better? You know, and try to be, you know, try to be subjective, I mean, objective, you know, so that way when you tell the story, you know, it doesn't sound like you're trying to make yourself sound great. I can for sure say that there were probably numerous memes in that group chat that I completely ignored, but none of them were directed at me, and that's why I didn't pay any attention. And that doesn't mean that it was right. Also, it doesn't mean that I, you know, it doesn't mean that I was right by ignoring those or sending them if I did. It just means that I didn't notice it until it was directed at me, and that's where, you know, it all went downhill. So I'm hoping that I can finish out my career strong. I have a lot of qualifications now, and I'm going to hopefully get more. I'm going to have a great resume, you know. I'm going to have a GI Bill. I'm going to walk out with a lot of good people in my life. I've learned a lot in my 3 years, you know. Like, there's so much for you to learn. So many people, so much diversity, so much culture, and so much beauty in everything. And I am grateful for the great experiences that I've had, for the great people that I have met. My family that I can for sure say is my family, because blood does not make a family, you know. I definitely think it has everything to do with just love, and all of the people I have met along the way, you know. I've had to cut out quite a bit, but I don't regret it, you know. I have great people in my life right now, and, you know, they're helping me get my life together. I actually had two people here at my house helping me clean it, and on a Monday night and until midnight, and they didn't have to do that. I didn't ask them to do it. They just did because they saw what was happening, what I was going through, and even with their own problems, they stayed here and they helped me through all of it. We were sweating, we were tired, sore, and they helped me. And, you know, people like that are what I still have hope for, you know. So I hope that all of you can find that somewhere too, you know. And it's hard. You're gonna lose a lot of people to find those few, but, you know, it's 150% worth it, guaranteed. And you could block me for saying that if you don't like it, but believe me. Please believe me. Well, anyways, my time is up. I will see you on, well, I'll talk to you on the next episode of Wine Dine 69 and Mental Health. Thank you for joining me today and listening to me talk. And I am glad that you are listening. I hope you listened to my first episode about why non-traditional women want traditional men. I sat down with Kiva Williams of Ingenuity Entertainment, and we had a great discussion. The audio was a little quiet. I was still working out the kinks. However, I hope this one is a little bit better, and I hope that you guys continue to follow my journey. The podcast is now available on Spotify as well, so if you have Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Amazon Music and so on and so forth, please make sure you send the link around, have your friends listen, have your family listen, and I just hope you guys stick with me, because I hope we're going to have some great topics and discussions and awesome people on this podcast. Thank you.